Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Thrilled to have you with us this evening. Condolences to Cowboys fans. I guess the best I could say is there's always next year. that was a brutal game. 40-something to 9. Ouch. It's okay. My Broncos lost too, if it makes you feel any better. Thrilled to have you with us here at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You can reach us through the studio line or by email at john@knssradio.com. On Facebook and Truth Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you. Couple quick programming notes. Next week, we will be preempted again. We'll be on immediately after the Chiefs post games show, but we have a great guest planned for you. Dinesh D'Souza will be with us next week. So we've got a great show planned for you. Don't also forget to listen to my carry-on commentaries. It's a 60-second daily feature that runs Monday through Friday, three times a day. Every day of the week, you'll hear those here on KNSS. So we got a great show planned next week. And, of course, tonight, Virginia Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earle Sears will be with us to kick off the 8 o'clock hour to talk about her campaign for governor, how Kamala Harris's big government message is playing in Virginia, and her upcoming visit to Kansas City. She'll be in Kansas City tomorrow, as a matter of fact. Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity will join us to discuss the disappointing KCC decision to increase rates for Kansas gas customers. And we'll talk with Keenan Smith, a Republican candidate for Kansas Senate District 25, and Jeff Jarman, a Democrat who's running for election to the Kansas State Board of Education to represent District 10. I think that's actually my district. It represents me. So I'll have some questions for her. I love it when we have Democrats on the show. Always fun. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. You may have missed it, but last Thursday was 1010 at XX. And it's also known as Real Women's Day. I don't know if you noticed that, but my dear friend Riley Gaines is trying to make that into a for lack of a better term, a day that we recognize as Real Women's Day. The day came about because Riley was tired of seeing Women's History Month, which comes up in March, being co-opted to honor transgender trailblazers like Rachel Levine and Leah Thomas. Both are biological males pretending to be gals. And she wasn't the only one, by the way. Lots of women who are trying to get a little tired of having women being co-opted by men. A host of high-profile women, including Republican lawmakers, conservative leaders, and single-sex sports advocates, have joined Riley in declaring that last Thursday, 10-10, was the first ever Real Women's Day, an occasion to honor the achievements of real women and recognize the intrinsic value that only they can provide. So last Thursday, 10-10-XX, we celebrated Real Women's Day. you know, real women, the kind that can give birth and be actually breastfeed and menstruate and lack a Y chromosome. You know, those things that actually define what a woman is, which apparently there are some, well, I don't know, Supreme Court justices that are incapable of doing that. The only kind of women, you know, real women, hence the name of the day. Women are not, for the record, menstruators. They're not bleeders. They're not chest feeders. They're not cervix havers. They're not uterus owners or egg producers or people with birthing capacity. They are biological females. It's very simple. You got an XX, you're a woman. You got an XY, you're a man. If you don't, you know, it's pretty, there's only two genders. I don't care how you want to mix it. There are only two genders. This is not it's a binary choice. Notice the word binary is in there for a reason. Women are just women. Adult human females. Some will say this is divisive or controversial, but they're wrong. It's not controversial to recognize the inherent differences between men and women. Especially in areas like competitive sports. We need to say enough is enough. Women are frankly being erased. So it's time that their voices are heard on this issue. It's time we stop pandering to a fringe but very loud minority on the left who spent 2 years, by the way, demanding we trust the science, but now expect the world to deny the science when it comes to this issue. The hypocrisy here is laughable. Today, males are claiming women's identity, their sports, and their spaces. Men and boys are stealing opportunities, medals, trophies, and frankly, women's future. It's not fair or just. In fact, it's awfully dangerous, frankly. And yet many in positions of power and influence refuse to use their platforms to stand up to this nonsense. I will not be one of those. I will always use this platform to advocate on behalf of women and girls sports and the need to save women and girls sports. It's not transphobic. It's not bigoted. It's not hard to stand up for women and girls. It's frankly pathetic that more Americans won't do it. This is one of the greatest, in my opinion, one of the greatest injustices we've allowed to happen to this country. Our daughters, nieces, girlfriends, and wives had something to prove. They've done it. They earned the right to compete in their own world, and now some on the left are trying to take that away from them. A competitively equal playing field to showcase the talents God gave them is something they earned. And who are a bunch of leftist nanny pickers to take that away from them? We are telling them that it isn't enough, that being what they are and who they are isn't enough. We are telling them that they aren't good enough. We are forcing them to compete against their genetically superior counterparts just to have what used to belong to them. And that's just frankly wrong. It's wrong, and it has to stop. We'll take a quick break, and then Elizabeth Patton from Americans for Prosperity will join us to discuss the disappointing KCC decision to increase rates for Kansas Gas Service customers. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Every Thursday, Americans for Prosperity Action activates the largest grassroots community operation in the country. Folks join together and phone into key federal races all across the U.S. You can join AFP every Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. Central to phone for freedom. If you're interested, it's a great opportunity, great way to get involved. You can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to follow and like the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, the Kansas Corporation Commission announced a decision last week to raise rates for Kansas gas service rates on Kansas gas customers. The decision has come under criticism considering Kansans are already facing a cost of living crisis under the Biden-Harris administration. With us now to explain how this decision may impact you is Elizabeth Patton from AFP Kansas. Elizabeth, thank you for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Oh, thank you for having me. And, you know, I'm actually supposed to be talking right now to also the House Energy Chairman, Representative Delperding. And,
oh.
He told me that you are interrupting our meeting. No, I'm kidding.
Well, actually, he texted me earlier and said that he was going to be listening. So we can you can kind of do both.
Oh, good. He told me, he's like, give John a hard time. So I had to.
It's Leo. I mean, you know, I love him. You got to love Leo. Well, so he would know this question. We could call him. How will this rate increase impact Kansans, Elizabeth?
Yeah. So basically, it's going to impact everyone's gas bill by about 6 or 7%. Every month. So you're going to see an increase. Everyone's going to see an increase. And they called that their unanimous compromise. It was going to be closer to 10 or 11%. But we don't think any of it really should have happened in the first place. The KCC should not have allowed that to happen. And I would love to dig into this a little bit. Largely, we had tons of people sign up and sign our petitions, but also directly to the KCC to say that they didn't want a rate increase at this time. And this rate increase is largely going to profits and to a guaranteed return on investment for Kansas gas by 10.2% and a lot of other things that honestly don't make sense when you have a the situation in Kansas. I don't begrudge any business's profits, don't get me wrong, but when you are a utility monopoly in the state, it's just not the same thing. And this essentially amounts to a tax increase on ratepayers by about 6 or 7% every month.
Well, so you mentioned that issue about profit, and what was the case that Kansas Gas Service used to justify the rate increase? Was there any logical, could they come up with, hey, we've had X or our costs or Y, or was this really just about guaranteeing that they were profitable?
This is guaranteeing they're profitable. So when we submitted our public comments, a few of the points, there were lots of points, but some of the highlighted points that we made were that this allows for 50% based, 50% of it is based in, my understanding is, executive and officer incentive compensation. And that's going to be included in the cost of our services. And also that return of equity of 10.25%, along with a bunch of other things with performance-based rate making and some nitty-gritty there. But at the end of the day is for profits, raising rates on gas customers. And it's just, as you pointed out in the opener for the show, under the Biden-Harris administration, we have seen energy costs rise, and we've seen even here in Kansas with electricity rates all over the place, and now we've got gas rates raising. Like, when does it stop? We have some of the, still, even with the package that was passed, we still have high taxes and there's more work to be done. Kansans don't need another rate increase right now. The KCC never should have let this go through. It wasn't justified.
And I think, you know, we were all sympathetic with that rate spike a couple of years ago when the winter was so bad.
Sure.
But this isn't about, I remember when they had these public hearings, people were outraged when they, even I remember John Carmichael, who's, you know, my opposite. He's my reverse copy. He's so far to the left, he's coming around the other side. But even he was vocally opposing this because he couldn't understand why, for example, those executive pay compensation packages were included in this. If this was all about recouping the cost to buy gas, that's one thing. But why are they getting away with including their compensation package and their benefits in there?
They shouldn't be. And so basically, Kansas consumers, Kansas ratepayers, everyone who pays a gas bill is bearing the brunt of these corporate decisions, and they have no choice. There's no other option for them, really. If they're a Kansas gas customer, there's no market here. And honestly, like, to benefit, this is a permanent benefit to Kansas Gas's own financial interest with little regard to no regard, in my view, to ratepayers, which is sad. And this is the wrong decision. The KCC never should have let this through. And it goes on to me continuing to beat the drum over the years that we need more accountability and transparency at the Corporation Commission, and we need to re-understand and remake and reform some of this rate-making process, because we're guaranteeing profits of 10.25%, which is a lot.
Yeah, that's a heck of a deal, especially if you're guaranteed. We're talking with Elizabeth Patton from AFP Kansas. I wanted to ask you one thing. I know I'm coming up on my bottom of the hour break, but I saw in the it's coming out a little bit more as Harris and Waltz are starting to roll out some of their plans. She's finally rolled out a sort of economic policy. I mean, she's doing this American whatever she's calling it. But one of the things that Harris and Democrats are planning is eliminating the tax cuts and job acts. It's going to expire next year. It will cause the average Kansas family's federal bill to rise by $2,228 in income tax rate hikes. Will account for $1,300 of that. And this is by design. So Kamala Harris is saying, I'm going to cut taxes for anybody making less than $400,000. But if she lets this expire, everyone's income taxes go up by $1,300, correct?
Correct. Right. It's a lie. If the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act expires, she is raising taxes on everybody. And you said it right. The average Kansas family's federal bill goes up $2,228. Like that is the average Kansas family's bill. And that's not a tax cut last night, Chip.
No. Well, and I don't know if you saw it, but in today's Wichita Eagle, Dan Murray from the NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business, had a great op-ed. And he talked about another element of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is the 20% tax cut that's in there for small business owners. Right. And what was put in there was allowing small businesses to write off, reduce their taxable business income by 20%. It's called the small business deduction. That goes away as well. And we both know what will happen if basically a 20% tax increase on small businesses, that's going to get passed on to consumers. That means layoffs. In this economy, I own a small business. We can't afford a 20% tax increase.
Right. Absolutely. And what we're estimating is you look at the different types of businesses in Kansas and to your point, how they would be impacted by this, and they all would. But even on small businesses, we're estimating that the expiration of that could cost Kansas over almost 7,000 jobs. That's a lot of jobs. And you're exactly right. These small businesses that then have to look at, okay, well, do I need to cut payroll because this is affecting my bottom line. I mean, it has that impact. And what we saw when Tax Cut and Jobs Act first went into effect, we saw the opposite, which was great. We saw higher wages for workers. We saw more jobs come through. We saw better benefits. We saw good things. We saw more take-home pay for all kinds up and down the economy, and more businesses being able to be more profitable and pass that right down to their workers and onto the consumers. And we will have, in the middle of inflation, the opposite effect, and we'll just suck some of that right out of the economy, which is a travesty and shouldn't be done.
Well, Elizabeth, I don't know about you, but I will take mean tweets and a Trump economy over what Harris and Waltz have planned any day of the week. The last thing Americans can afford right now is higher taxes. I know I want to let you go, but coming up, I just want to make sure folks understand my wife and I were out yesterday knocking. You guys are between now and November 5th. By the way, it's November 6th for Democrats. You guys vote on Wednesdays. Don't forget. But between now and November 5th, that was a joke. I have to put that out there because I have had complaints when I've made that comment in the past. You guys are doing National Days of Action every Saturday between now and the election. You're out there door knocking. If folks want to get involved, what's the best way for them to help, to get out there to door knock, to help on some of these races?
Absolutely. Reach out to us on our website at AmericansForProsperity.org and go to the Kansas page and sign up to volunteer, or reach out to us on social media on X at AFPKS or on Facebook and send us a message, or Instagram. We are all of those places, and let us know you want to help and we'll plug you in. But we are all over the state in some key battleground. You know, it's us versus the ACLU and the far left fighting for our state in Kansas, and it matters, and we could use all the help we can get. And you mentioned our days of action for AFP Action on Thursdays. I'll tell you, the Wisconsin race has tightened, and good, we have a chance to take that over. So every single opportunity to have a conversation with a voter matters. So if you want to get involved, reach out. We'll get you connected, and we'll get you plugged in, and we'll get you a walkbook.
That's another one what I mentioned at the top of this segment, is where folks can take those opportunities to phone call into those key races. You don't have to do anything, right? They don't have to go into your office. They can do it from home on an app. It doesn't cost anything, and it's a great way for them to get involved and help out in these really, really important races, because control of the House and Senate are very important this year.
We have to stop one-party progressive rule in the worst-case scenario, and we have – you're absolutely right. We have to do everything we can to make the House and the Senate effective and get some policy champions in there who can, you know, make sure we don't stop the tax cut. We don't repeal the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act.
Yes. By the way, my next guest, Keenan Smith, is in studio here, and he said to make sure I said hello to you. So,
Hello.
Elizabeth, thank you as always. We appreciate you. Carry on the fight, my friend.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Have a good night.
We'll take a quick break, and then we'll continue our 2024 election candidate profiles with Keenan Smith, Republican candidate for Kansas State Senate, District 25. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. If you ever miss a part of a show, we've got you covered. We post clips from all of our shows. We also post single hours and the entire show as one audio file. There's lots to choose from. Just download the Always Live free Odyssey app to get started. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer. Get all the latest updates. By the way, Phil, I'm noticing the music here, the Halloween theme, nicely done, by the way.
I just do what I can.
Yeah, I know. You're doing a good job of it. Every election cycle, we try and bring you as many candidates as we can. If there's a candidate in particular that you'd like to hear from, reach out. Let me know. We'll ask. Some won't come on, but we will make the ask for you, and we'll try and invite them on the show. That being said, joining us now is Keenan Smith. He is a candidate for Kansas Senate District 25. The seat is currently held by Liberal Democrat Mary Ware. Keenan, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
John, thank you so much for having me, man.
It's a pleasure.
It's been one of the biggest experiences in my life to run for Kansas State Senate.
I've been there. In fact, that usually my first question is why? Why would you want to subject yourself to this? Because it's not easy. It's tough on your family. It's tough on you. And the attacks, if they haven't started already, they're gonna.
Oh, of course.
But why did you decide to run?
The compassion that I have just throughout my district, seeing the devastation that liberals have imposed on the constituents of my district, the lies, the consistent lies that everybody have going throughout Wichita and also in the state as well. I've had the pleasure of sitting amongst many liberals during my public service duties, sitting on boards and doing different things like that, and watching the initiatives of the Democratic Party. When people didn't know I was a Republican, right? They kind of was like, champion Keenan. When they found out I was a Republican and I knew the truth, right? And I had to be in a reality for a moment, and I had to take a minute and say one prayer. God, what would you like me to do? God said, hey, listen, if you don't get on this ballot in 2024, you're not mine. The things that are happening right now throughout our state, the way we're watching the Democrats, right? The way they've imposed certain things and changed language and changed the mindsets of people here throughout our district, right? It's just incredible.
Yeah, it's interesting. You speak a lot like Patrick Penn, who I think the two of you seem to have a lot of similar philosophies. And I've talked to Pat a lot. Another friend of mine, Willie Dove, who's also an African American legislator. Willie, I call him the Reverend Dove. He and I served together in the legislature.
Amen.
And I love Willie. Mm-hmm. But Willie, one of the things that he used to tell me a lot was how frustrated it would make him, like what you said, how Democrats would get mad at him, say he's not a real Republican. I think about the way Marvin Robinson was just treated by his Democrat colleagues.
May he rest in peace.
Yes, and how he was treated because of he voted his conscience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really curious, two things. First off, how has that been? I mean, do they look at you as a quote-unquote a traitor? And the other question is, I don't know if you saw how Barack Obama just spoke to an African-American audience.
Mm-hmm.
But my reaction, and again, I'm outside of the community, but it seemed to me like it was very much, I'm telling you how to vote. It almost seemed like they just assume, okay, it's every 4 years, you got to vote for us again, and then they ignore you for 4 years.
Mm-hmm. So I look at this like this. You know, generationally, I went through my standard time of getting knowledge and understanding what liberation really meant for the black culture here in the state of Kansas and also throughout America. I was actually the state director for Blexit, which is the outreach and also the knowledge portion of understanding American liberation, right? I led the state in it. Guess who actually championed me in getting out and creating outreach and those things? Black Republicans, right? They actually championed me, sent me to Washington, D.C., sent me to Washington State. Let me actually speak in front of crowds and actually making sure that we can understand different outreach moments here throughout Kansas. How I feel about it? I don't care how I feel. I have three black children here in the state of Kansas, and I want to set the standard for what we really supposed to stand, what we're really supposed to stand for. Here's the thing. When I see Patrick Penn advocating as a father, I see him fighting the good fight, right? I see him not crying, but also taking the bullets. I see him and his wife side by side taking the bullets.
Yeah, they do, for sure.
I see them. And whoever I do marry, because I do plan on getting married very soon. I haven't picked yet. I'm sorry about that. But here's the thing, right? I hope she has the same heart as Talia Penn. I sit there and I watch many people, right, throw stones. I watch it. I've been watching this for 6 years. I've seen these two people do amazing job with raising their children. I've seen a great job with them actually making sure that, you know, my path and other people's path before me, right, is actually spoken for. Most of the time, we've seen the black community actually be the people throwing the stones, but also they've never been the people that actually champion initiatives. But guess who did? Black Republicans. When it comes down to it, I'm not going to take the same approach as he does. You know, Patrick is a very well-known family man, conservative, patriot, right? Keenan's going to be a fire starter. I will set fire to every lie that they have here in the state of Kansas. I don't care. I'm young. I'm radical. I'm crazy. Let's do it.
Having been a bit of a bomb thrower myself, I can appreciate that. Trust me. So I know you've been outdoor knocking. I know you're doing the work that's necessary. What's the biggest issue facing voters in your district when you're outdoor knocking? What are you hearing from folks in the 25th?
Fire in Mary Ware.
Well, and you know, Mary Ware is an interesting one because I'm somewhat familiar with her. And you know, first thing I do when I have guests like you on is I look at their opponent.
Yes.
And you know, she claims to be a pragmatist.
Lie.
But then, well, of course, because if you look even at her own bio, she describes herself as a quote social justice activist.
Lie.
She advocates gun control. She's very pro-abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Opposes, you know, even things like the local bans on single-use plastic bags.
Mm-hmm.
So she's radical mm-hmm. positions,
mm-hmm.
and yet she claims to be pragmatic.
Here's the thing. You're problematic. Here's the truth, right? When I walk up to a door, I back up from a door, I see a mother, probably a single mother that lives in apartments off Harry. There's a young man that's on my campaign. He does a great job. He's one child out of eight children. Me sitting down talking to that single mother, right? And you know what the one problem she says she has? She says she has a safety problem with her children, right? It's not childcare. It's not what is going to go on, right? It's a violence problem, right? If we don't advocate for the changes in our community with public safety, we're going to have a major problem later on. Right now, my opponent is saying, hey, let's expand Medicaid, right?
Yeah, that's not going to help with public safety.
Right. But you had nothing to say when I sat there and watched my opponent, right, say, let's expand on a program that does not even work for other states, but we can deliver with $7 billion in economic dollar here in Kansas. I said, well, I just want to ask you, where have you been? In reality, on the south end of my district, you know what they tell me? We've never heard of her. We just see her signs. We've never heard of this person. Thank you for coming to my door as a politician. Thank you for actually fighting for my children. I take my 2-year-old door knocking with me. My 9-year-old son door knocks with me. And you know what they say? Hey, listen, I'm surprised the black man that's a Republican is actually knocking doors. I thought you had all types of money. I said, ma'am, you know what? I actually take on more of the antagonist role throughout this entire campaign to deliver for you. I'm your better choice. Can you please vote for me? You know what they say? Yes.
Well, and that's what I think it's going to take. Especially we have to broaden. It's one of the things that I think the Republican Party hasn't done a good enough job at is broadening our appeal to a broader base without compromising our principles. That's the key.
No. Let's say it for what it is. Come on, John. Say it for what it is. Let's hold ourselves accountable here. We're Republicans. Did we actually do a better job at how we actually create outreach programs here in Sedgwick County for black people?
Not enough, I don't think. No.
We haven't.
No. I think we're trying. It depends on the leadership at the party level. And I think.
I agree.
I'm not making any announcements tonight.
Okay.
But I will tell you that there is going to be a slate that will step forward that I think will do an excellent job of trying to be more proactive in reaching out to groups like Sedgwick County Black Republicans, like the Kansas Black Republicans, that is trying to be more. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you have, well, look at the state party. Look at the way Mike Brown tried to, you know, kick the Black Republicans and the Hispanic Republicans and the college Republicans out of the executive committee leadership at the party level. You can't do that kind of nonsense and still be a big tent party.
Right.
But without compromising your principles.
I understand what the principles and values are as a Republican right now, right? Here's the real task right here, right now. And, you know, this fight, that particular incident probably happened back in February, right?
Yeah. Towards the end of last year, early this year. Yeah.
We're in October. We're in one of the biggest fights of our lives. Here's what we need to do in Sedgwick County and be honest and be real with it, right? This congressional campaign that they got, oh my God, this guy would never, ever, 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 ever beat Ron Estes.
No, Esau. Okay. Freeman? No, never.
Let's be honest. Celeste will never beat Stephanie Wise.
Let's hope not.
This just won't happen, right? This is not going to happen. When it comes down to it, right, if we want a champion and somebody who really can make a difference in a district and flip a seat and fire Mary Ware, I'm your guy. And we need your help.
We do. Hold on. I'm going to take a quick break. If you want to stick around through the break?
Oh, of course.
Okay. We'll stick around through the break, and we'll come back, ask you some policy positions, some principal positions. We're talking with Keenan Smith, candidate for Kansas Senate District 25. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org to sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, it's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
This is an opinion from a former judge, Keith M. Albert. I am a student of law whose age is 85. My first year of college was 68 years ago. One class I took was political science. A half page of my textbook essentially outlined a few steps to overturn a democracy. 1. Divide the nation philosophically. 2. Foment racial strife. 3. Cause distrust of police authority. 4. Swarm the nation's borders indiscriminately and unconstitutionally. 5. Engender the military strength to weaken it. 6. Overburden citizens with more unfair taxes. 7. Encourage civil rioting and discourage accountability for all crime. 8. Control all balloting. 9. Control all media. What was printed in 1954 as a possible diabolic nightmare has become an emerging reality. I hope that Americans will unite enough to pen a good finish.
With us still is Keenan Smith. He's a candidate for Kansas Senate District 25. Keenan, the House and Senate have, let's talk about some policy issues over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. They've done taxes. I think there are a lot of us who are frustrated that we didn't get more tax relief. Had we been able to pass the original plan, right, I think we would have had considerable tax relief.
Right.
And your opponent, I guarantee, Mary, voted against the real tax package. What we ended up getting was a watered down version.
Right.
What are your thoughts on the tax bills that had been suggested and what they ended up passing?
Some of the tax bills are completely packed with a lot of incentives, right? We need to be able to understand in the Kansas State Senate, right, that we need to be divisive just like the Democrats are and not take the direct approach to it. We need to stack our bills, set our initiatives, and hit key goals, right? You know, the Senate president, he's had a great leadership. He has a great run, him and Dan Hawkins in the House. We look at things. We need to be more transformative, right? You know, people are saying break the supermajority right now. They're saying break the supermajority because they actually did a good job, right?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I love the tax packages, but we need to like really gain some momentum and get key votes.
Yeah, well, in particular, I think people would love to see property tax relief, which
of course
there was hardly anything in there in this last, and that's really what Laura Kelly ended up cutting was the property tax relief because you know that she wouldn't come well for the quote unquote middle of the road she wouldn't come all. What do you think? You brought up incentives. What do you think about the Apex deal, that gave the $800 million to the Panasonic plant up in Johnson County, or the Chiefs Royals incentive package that they passed?
We should have been economically going after the Chiefs. We should have aggressively gave them whatever they needed to bring this thing all the way back to Kansas. Their name is the Kansas City Chiefs, right?
Well, I know there are Chiefs fans listening to this show that'll like that.
And I'm a Chiefs fan as well. Here's the thing. I wanted my team home, right? And we got them home, right? Here's the thing. The Panasonic deal was a plight, right? It's going to be a plight. People say all the time that, hey, listen, we need a better workforce here in Kansas. But what is the governor doing? She's selling off every bit of our dollar, right, to bring people here that we don't to make products, right, that we don't even use every day as Kansans. Let's think about this. If we are economically going to improve our workforce and we're going to be able to bring companies in, you know, to make a difference here in our state.
Right.
We need to do a better job than what the governor's doing.
We're talking with Keenan Smith, candidate for Kansas Senate District 25. Another issue that the House at one point passed, the Senate really hasn't taken this up on the floor. They've had some hearings, is marijuana legalization. What are your thoughts on either medical or recreational marijuana legalization?
I don't agree with legalizing it. What I will say is there are over 18,000 people throughout the state of Kansas right now. There are some of actually sitting on correctional facilities. The governor actually went to El Dorado and actually put, like, I think it was $150 million into a new facility just so she could be able to house a large percentage of that number. When a bill actually last year, I actually went in front of the Senate committee. It said there was 75 people only had simple marijuana possession cases, right? Here's the thing, guys, and I tell every Republican across the state of Kansas these things, right? When we look at these culture-built bills, right, we look at these bills that people are not really hearing and they really don't understand or who these things are really affecting, right? Right now we're living in an emotional time. We do not need to give Laura Kelly more bullets. We need to go ahead and take the value right out of the marijuana market from the get-go and make sure that we're serving Kansans and doing the right thing. We need to decriminalize marijuana and start our own initiative to make sure that, you know, the governor doesn't have a bullet when it comes to making a new industry here.
When you talk about giving her bullets one way or the other, right now one of the major issues the Democrats are running on nationwide and here in Kansas is abortion. Mm-hmm. They're trying to make that. I don't think it's as big an issue to voters as I think the Democrats want it to be. What's your position on life?
Here's the thing. I've always stood for life. You know, you can see me advocating 2 years, 3 years and 4 years ago, just making sure that I was hard at it. You know, we had a soft decision to be able to make when it came down to life. We actually had a miscarriage. Right. Me and my second kid's mom, we had a miscarriage. Right. And she was like, Kenan, I can't carry the full term. This is very personal to me, by the way. But I really want people to understand what I mean by this. I stood by her the entire time. And I said, hey, listen, I'm not going to do this. I don't think abortion is a choice. I don't think that we should be able to do these things. And I don't think we really want to do these things. Let's not make an emotional decision. Let's handle this. Be accountable for who we are. And if we're going to create a family, right, let's do it. Unfortunately, we had a miscarriage. You know, we had to go through those choices. You know, we had to go through some of those traumas and make things happen. But ever since then, I've always been a pro-life guy. I've stood out on Kellogg Media Days with Joseph and had the signs. I've actually went into the facility, right, when people didn't know who I was, just to be able to get my own insight on these situations. I really wanted to see what these monsters are capable of. I've done my homework when it comes to these people and the history of what's going on Kellogg. I look at it, and one thing about it is you can count on me as a legislator to never let a piece of legislation hit my desk that really even supports it.
What, as I mentioned when we talked about Mary Ware, she's been on the record. She's pretty much a strong advocate.
Yeah,
She's a strong advocate pro-abortion.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she is.
She is also a strong advocate for gun control.
Oh, yeah.
I noticed you've been endorsed by KSRA and NRA. What are your thoughts on the Second Amendment?
The second, I'm a 2A crazy person. You can say if a Democrat, let me get them a great sound bite for this, right? When it comes down to protecting the people that I love in District 25, we live in one of the most violent districts in it throughout Kansas. It has the highest number for violence, death, and murders, right? And also homelessness. Here's the truth, right? It's not about having the right to carry a weapon. Right? It's about who are we protecting with these weapons. My sons are in my home. My daughter is in my home. It's not about can I carry the weapon anymore, right? Let's turn the barrel to people who actually say we can't do this. This is our time to be able to make sure that people understand exactly what 2A is all about.
Well, and the other thing I try and point out to folks is the, you know, putting it like Mary Ware's idea to gun control laws. It's only affecting lawful gun owners. The criminals aren't going to say, oh, Mary passed a bill. I have to turn my guns in now. You know, the criminals don't listen. If they were criminals, they would be abiding by the law in the first place.
Exactly.
So passing a law isn't going to fix that problem.
No, it isn't. You know, back to public safety when we actually come down to it.
Good point.
When you actually go down to public safety and actually support law enforcement and the officers that are standing right there in front of you, Some of the people don't, what they don't understand is a part of the law enforcement budget on the state level is also given to technology. I've actually sat with the sheriff, the police chief, and we've actually had a conversation about what is going on Broadway in my district, right? And what and how technology can be implemented to save officers' lives. Here's where we have to go. If people don't remember anything else about this election, let's save our officers. Let's save our law enforcement. Let's make sure that these guys are equipped with the technology right throughout our state, at least, to be able to make sure that they can survive the night.
Yeah, and I think defund the police, Mary Ware, is probably not going to share that position. Keenan, thank you again for joining us tonight. If folks want more information on your campaign, if they want to volunteer, or more importantly, if they want to donate, they can visit KeenanForKansas.com. That's KeenanForKansas.com, correct?
Yes, it is.
All right, brother, best of luck. We wish you all the best. We need to flip that seat, my friend.
Let's do it.
Coming up, we'll be back in just a few minutes when we return. Virginia Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earl Sears will be with us. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. I want to remind you, you can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS radio. And this Season of the Witch, just a great song. It's a classic. Gotta love this song. God, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And of course, give us a call. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. Well, Virginia Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earl Sears last month announced her official candidacy for governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia. Earl Sears, an immigrant from Jamaica and United States Marine, hoo-yah, would become the first woman to serve as Virginia's governor and first black woman in American history to serve as any state's governor, a story possible only in America. Better yet, she's a Republican, so it's a feather in our cap. She's coming to Kansas City tomorrow. She'll be at 7:30. She'll be at Fiorella's event space in Overland Park. Lieutenant Governor, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again.
Yes, John. Thank you so very much for having me, and good night to your listeners.
Well, thank you again. It's always nice to have you on the show. And I have to start with Virginia. It's interesting. If you look at Virginia, sort of southern states, I kind of consider you one of the sort of southern states there. And yet, if you look at it, Virginia has voted in the last three election cycles, you voted Democrat. But then again, they turn around and elected you and Glenn Youngkin, Republicans, for governor the last cycle. Is it possible that, you know, Virginia is maybe not so blue, maybe turning a little purple?
Well, I would say that we are purple to blue. We're not a red state anymore, not what we used to be. And where you could count on Virginia going, you know, for the president, the Republican candidate, not anymore. And it hasn't been that way for a long time now. But, you know, I think maybe this year it might be different. And we hope so, because we've got to have Trump in the White House. Look, as I like to say, I want the man to win, the one that Rocket Man is afraid of. And,
yeah,
you know, our enemies have to understand that there is strength in the White House, not the kind of weakness that pulled us out of Afghanistan and the caused our enemies to sense that, well, there is weakness in the White House after all, because we did nothing. And by the way, when you saw that Iran's drones hit three soldiers in the Middle East, right, this year, we did nothing, did we, John?
No.
We didn't go after anybody, not a soul.
No, and now it's been over a year since, you know, Hamas terrorists attacked American citizens in Israel, and we've really done nothing other than wring our hands and tell Israel to not to do anything. You know, I mean, that's another perfect example of a failure of leadership. And I'm glad you brought up Afghanistan, because the quote unquote last person in the room when that decision was made is Kamala Harris. What has her reception been in Virginia? What do Virginians think of their, you know, the Democrat nominee?
Well, on the Democrat side, of course, they love her. They love her to death. And, but we've got to move past. Yeah. Well, tell me what your policies are. how are you going to keep us safe? Because, John, you can love somebody, but it's the policies that are going to matter. You see, so tell me you love me by showing me your policies, and then I will know how you love me. Because the other part, I like to say, of the president's title is commander-in-chief.
Right.
And that means your first job is to keep the country safe. And for me, this election is about, yes, economic development, jobs creation, you know, money in my pocket, all that. But it's also about how are you going to keep us safe and secure? Because, John, you can't have economic development, job security, and all of that unless you know that the country is safe. Because you see what happened during 9/11. No business deals were happening. Nobody was talking about anything. We wanted to know who hit us and how we're going to get them back, right?
Yeah.
So when you look at the border, for example, you need to know who's coming through the front door, don't you? Of course you do. But Kamala has been letting them come through the door. We don't know who you are. We don't know where you came from. You are who you say you are. We have no way to trace you back to your home country because that's not the name that you used before. You see what I mean?
Right.
So we don't know if you mean us harm or if you're really just trying to find, you know, a better way of life for you, your family. And even if that's the case, we got to know who you are.
You know, it's amazing you say you led right into policies. It's almost great minds think alike, because one of the things I was going to ask you about is, I don't know if you happened to watch it. I did not. I would rather go have a root canal than watch The View. But on The View just this week, Kamala Harris was asked about her policies and what she would do differently from the last, you know, 4 years. And she literally said nothing. So she's quote unquote the change candidate, but she wouldn't do anything differently. So, you know, why not just run Creepy Joe? I mean, it's laughable.
The woman. So it is true what Bernie Sanders has said to us, which is Kamala is saying these things because that's how she believes she's going to win. But once she wins, she's going to come back.
Right.
I mean, she said just this month, those who cross our border illegally will be apprehended and removed. Well, where have you been? Where have you been for the past 4 years almost? Where have you been all this time? So we're not believing any of this. And then, of course, she's talking about, now she supports fracking, but that was before she was, what, against it.
Right.
Then she says she supports the border wall, but that's before she was against it. So if she's on The View and she's telling people that she's not going to change any policy, but then she's telling the rest of us, no, I'm going to change all of this, then there you are. It's almost like the Groucho Marx principle. Well, if you don't like those principles, I have more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
That means you have none.
No, it's very reminiscent of John Kerry. You remember his issue with waffling? And this is the same kind of thing. But you're right. She's saying what she thinks she needs to say in order to get elected. But I think we know underneath that nothing's going to change. In fact, I think she'll be more liberal than Joe Biden should she win. We're talking with Virginia Lieutenant Governor Winsome Earle Sears. I do want to ask you, you and Governor Youngkin have been incredibly successful in one area that we in Kansas have struggled with, we being Republicans in Kansas, and that's schools, the issues of school funding. It's a perpetual fight that the GOP in Kansas struggles with. And yet you've somehow been able to take education policies and turn that into a winning issue for the GOP in Virginia. How is it you've done that? I've been amazed to see. Governor Youngkin actually came here and campaigned for our candidate in the last cycle. Unfortunately, Derek Schmidt didn't win. But, you know, you two have been able to turn that issue into a winning issue for Republicans. I wish we could do that nationally.
Well, what we have done is employed something we call common sense. And I think if you keep hitting on common sense in the sense that, look, I am the parent. I am the parent 24/7. I do not co-parent. And I think if you're very vociferous about these things and you go into the various communities who you think may not be amenable to what you're saying, but if you talk common sense and you speak it often enough, then there's a part of you know, maybe your adversaries who will say, you know, this is absolutely right. I am the one, as a parent, who should be the decider of where my child should go to school.
Right, right.
I am the one whose tax monies are being used for this, that, and the other, and it's not being used effectively. My child can't read, can't write. And by the way, you shut our schools down when the private schools were open all this time. So if I had had the money from my taxes, I could have taken my child out of public school and put them in private school. So that if you public school, you want to stay closed, that's fine, but I'm making the decision to put my child elsewhere so they won't lose 2 whole years of school. This is the kind of sense we're talking about, John, and I think in Virginia, remember now, Virginia is, as I said, a blue to purple to blue state. So we had to have Democrats who believed in us, believed that our message was common sense, and that we could convince them that we would be for them as much as for everybody else. We're one Virginia. So that's what we have to do. We've got to expand the territory in the Republican Party. We've got to go and find those people who believe like we do. And they're Democrats, but they don't know. They're actually Republicans. I didn't know I was a Republican until someone said, for example, if all you ever have is welfare, you will never have anything to pass on to your children. I said, oh, my God, I'm a Republican. I didn't know this. I didn't know this. So that's what I'm saying. You got to be able to go into those communities and speak, as they say, on the other side, truth to power.
Yes.
And bring us out.
No, that's perfect. That's perfect. You're coming to Kansas City. You'll be in Overland Park tomorrow at 7:30 at Fiorella's event space. Again, it's Overland Park. It's a fundraiser for the Kansas Black Republican Council. Can you tell us a little bit about the event, what folks can look forward to? I know their tickets are still available. If folks are interested, they can find them at ksblackrepublicans.com. Can you tell us a little bit about the event?
Yes, and it's also for the benefit of the Republican National Hispanic Assembly of Kansas. I know that Senate President Ty Masterson is coming.
Yep.
The Speaker of the House is coming. Various other elected officials, local and other part of your states, they're coming. And it's really to talk about, my topic would be, and the part of the event is living the American dream. And folks, you're looking at the American dream. It's still happening. And do you know who's not believing that America is not a great country? It is those people who are trying desperately to even throw their kids over the wall and plant them on American soil because they don't believe that we're xenophobic, homophobic, racist, sexist, we're blah, blah, blah. They don't believe any of that. Otherwise, they wouldn't be coming into the country illegally. They are breaking every piece of the wall that they can to come in because they know if they get their foot on American soil, their lives will change forever for the good, and so will their children. All we are saying as Republicans, and it shouldn't be as Republicans, it should be as Democrats, as everybody. Who are you and why are you here? That's what we want to know.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And do it the right way. Do it legally. Go through the right process, which we then need to streamline that process. But we do need to vet them before we let them in.
We have to. You don't. The reason you have a door on your house is so you can make a decision on who comes in and who doesn't, and to protect your family.
Right.
It's the same at the borders. It is no different. We have a border for a reason. Who are you? Why do you want to come in? What do you bring to this country? Et cetera, et cetera. That's it. We know that the cartels are using people as mules, drug mules. We know that there's sex trafficking going on at the border. We know that children are in danger. They're being kidnapped. I mean, we know that. We know. How do we know whether sleeper cells have come through? Heavens, we have all this. We have people from communist China who have come through. We don't know if they mean us ill or harm. We have people from rogue nations, terrorist nations who have come through. And those are the ones we caught. John, those are the
right.
For every one that we catch or two we catch, I hear that there's one that's got away. We've got people we've caught from Russia. Come on. We've got to know how to keep our country safe. And Kamala is not the one to do it. And by the way, you know, you put a Democrat in office right away, John, money's coming out of your pocket. That's a given.
Oh, yeah.
Some way, somehow, money is coming out of your pocket. Don't tell me that I don't know. You know that for yourself.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's much like your education policy. Everything you've just said is common sense. It's just, I mean, that's, but unfortunately, some on the other side of the aisle would rather their ideology prevail over common sense. If folks want to help you, if they want to donate, because again, Virginia is a blue state. If they want more information, they can visit winsomeforgovernor.com, and it's FOR, so winsomeforgovernor.com. I follow you on X. If they want to follow you on X, it's Win with Winsome on Twitter on X, correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we're going to win because people understand that we need to make sure the common sense policies that Governor Youngkin has begun will be cemented so that they cannot be destroyed. We need businesses to come to Virginia so that they can create the jobs that we need to, so we can get the roads and schools, yes, and bridges and all the infrastructure in place. We need to have some semblance of just absolute, common sense. Can I say it again?
Yeah,
common sense.
That'll preach.
It's just not very common, John.
That'll preach, trust me. Lieutenant Governor, we appreciate you. Wish you the best of luck. We'll see you again tomorrow night in Kansas City at Overland Park for the Kansas Black Republican Council event. Wish you all the best. Thank you again for joining us, and carry on the fight, my friend.
Yes, thank you for having me. And by the way, I won't need luck if you support me, if I get your prayers and also donations. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Take care.
She is sharp. That woman is sharp. She would be a heck of a governor, a major upgrade from what we have, sadly. We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills. And when we return, we'll take your calls. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. As we mentioned earlier, last hour, every Thursday, Americans for Prosperity Action activates the largest grassroots community operation in the country to join together and phone into key federal races all across the U.S. You can join AFP every Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. to phone for freedom. If you'd like to volunteer, if you'd like to be a part, if you'd like to make sure your voice is heard, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. It's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
I want to congratulate all of the Republican primary winners. During this primary cycle, we have supported and worked actively for opposing candidates. But now it is time we unite as Republicans headed into the general election. There is much to be done, and as conservatives and Republicans, we are better together and united. I, for one, am ready to work and deliver a victory for Donald Trump and the rest of our Kansas GOP candidates up and down the ballot. Now is the time to come together, but we must also hold accountable those who won. Campaign promises are one thing. Delivering on those promises are what matters. All too often, politicians say they think what voters want to hear in order to get elected, and then forget those promises once they get into office. Rest assured, all Kansas voters will be watching.
This one certainly will. I know my wife and I will be watching, that's for sure. Speaking of elections, we've got, what, 23 days from now, something like that. Phil, I can't remember, but I don't know if you saw out of NBC today, they released a new poll, which there was much wailing and gnashing of teeth on MSLGBTV today. Mm-hmm. But they rolled out this new poll, and this is an NBC News poll. So, you know, it's certainly not slanted to Republicans.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's at least, let's say it's fair and balanced, which coming from that network, I'll give them the great assault. But former President Donald Trump and Vice President Kamala Harris are deadlocked in the latest national NBC News poll, With Trump, this is according to their website, with Trump bolstered by Republicans coming back home to support him after last month's rough debate, which is this again, this is how they want to spin it. They're saying that they're coming back home, which doesn't surprise me. I think they thought that maybe the Liz Cheney endorsement would just swing this thing for Kamala. What they don't realize is there are no Republicans that actually give a damn what Liz Cheney has to say.
Well, and then they wouldn't turn around and had her on to follow.
Oh, yeah.
There this morning.
If
you watch the morning programs.
Yeah, they love trotting her out and saying, you know, well, Liz Cheney says this. And then we, you know, we have to remind that Liz Cheney lost by like 43 points. I mean, come on. There's not a Republican out there that cares what Liz Cheney or Adam Kinzinger or any of those rhinos actually think. I mean, and I don't use that rhino term very often, but those two are quintessential examples of Republicans in name only.
She comes across as a very bitter, bitter woman.
She is. Yes, she is. That is a very good way of putting it. But according to the poll, the summer has turned to fall and any signs of momentum for Kamala Harris have stopped. This is according to Democratic pollster Jeff Horwitt. The race is, quote, a dead heat. This is not good news if you're in the Kamala Harris camp. Trust me. Because if at this point, if you look back 4 years ago, Joe Biden was up anywhere between 6 and 10 points.
Quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And if this is a dead heat in an NBC poll, and you know, traditionally Trump voters do not like polls. They're pro-life, pro-gun, get off your porch folks who don't respond to polls. This is not a good sign if you're a Kamala Harris supporter, which I'm just so sorry to hear that. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll talk with Jeff Jarman, who is running for election to the Kansas State Board of Education to represent my district, District 10. Jeff says he's hoping to get my wife and I to vote for him. You know, it's good to hope in one help and have one hand, and, well, I'll just leave the rest out there. Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. He's come into the lion's den. We'll give him a warm welcome when we get back. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio, and make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and find and follow me on Twitter, X, at John R. Whitmer. Those are the best ways to stay informed on all the latest show updates. As always, our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. My next guest, Jeff Jarman, served more than 8 years on the Mays USD 266 Board of Education from 2015 to 2024, including 4 years as the president of the Mays School Board. He currently serves as the director of the School of Communication at Wichita State University, which, by the way, I would love to come speak to your class anytime. Open invitation. Jeff, thank you for joining us this evening. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Yeah, friend. Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. By the way, we're always looking for interns here at the station. So if you ever have an intern, we've had a few down, a couple stations down. You guys do a great job over there at WSU.
Yeah, thanks.
So, love my Shockers. So I have to ask, I start off with the usual question. Why? I would have thought after 8 years on one school board, you'd have had your fill of politics and school boards.
Yeah, well, I mean, I thought I was done as well. I enjoyed my 8 years in Mays, but I didn't think I'd run. I am running in this race, though, for really one reason. I care strongly about public education in this state. I believe it's the single best public institution we have, and we need to do everything we can to make it stronger and make it successful. The worst thing we could do is allow our public schools to fail. That is a recipe to really destroy our society. We are stronger when our schools are thriving.
I would agree. I think most people would agree with that sentiment. And I think anybody who runs for a public office, certainly for school board, probably has the same sentiment, I would imagine. I'm sure if we had your opponent, Debbie Potter, on the show, she'd say the same thing. I think she probably feels the same way about public education.
I think as we get through these answers, we'll see a clear difference in how we would answer your questions.
Yes, but I think your general motivation is probably the same. I'm sure she, too, believes that education is the most important, and public education as well. Let me start with this. I know, obviously, you're running for state school board, but The State Board of Education had to approve the recent $450 million bond that USD 259 has put forward. If you were serving on the State Board, would you have voted to approve the bond?
Yeah, it's a difficult question right now. I have not looked at all of the facts. We did pass two bond initiatives when I was in Mays on the board there. I understand the importance of building community support and telling your community how that money will be used, why it's important. And when you can make a good case for what it is that you want to do with that money, then voters responded. We saw tremendous success in Mays, 90% out there for the bond initiatives that we did. I would be happy to dig in on 259. But I don't know enough about their bond.
Well, one of the things they're claiming is it's not a new tax. Is, I mean, are you familiar enough with it to say whether sure. or not you, okay,
yeah,
is
right.
it a new I mean, tax or is it not a new tax?
I mean, I think when you talked with other guests earlier, it's not an increase in the mill rate.
That is correct.
Right.
But mill rate goes away.
It could go down, certainly. So the question is not, is it a tax increase? It's whether or not you continue to spend and invest in the infrastructure in your buildings. I mean, I don't know a lot about what's going on in 259, but it is hard to imagine that you can get a 21st century education in a building that was built in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Those are some of the motivations that people have when they ask for
sure. Bonds. And as I said, when we had Walt on last week, I just want them to be honest. And what the honest way to say it is, in 2 years, your taxes go down unless you vote yes. If you vote no, your taxes go down.
Right. And that
by virtue is a tax cut.
And it's exactly the same thing to say for the same tax rate, we could start
correct.
Improving our buildings.
But that's not how they're selling it.
Well,
they're I get it. Do you believe Kansas K-12 schools are adequately funded?
We have now a funding formula that is constitutional for the first time in a very long time. So they're not fully funded, but they are constitutionally funded.
When you say they're not fully funded, is that the special education part, or do you think, or are you of the mindset that they could never be adequately funded?
Yeah, and neither of those. One of the things I did for this race is I went out and talked with a bunch of superintendents, and over, I've talked with over a dozen now, and what they really want is stability in funding. And that makes sense to me okay. that you get a funding formula and then the legislature makes a change. It's hard for them to budget and plan. Any business owner would know that as well. When you can't make plans based on stable projections, it's hard to run your business effectively.
Can I ask, you said when you thought about running, you went out and talked to many superintendents. Yeah. Did you go out and talk to parents?
I have talked with parents, yeah.
Because I think that's, for my perspective, it's a heck of a lot more important to talk to parents than superintendents.
I mean, you know, an important thing is, having been on the board in Mays for 8.5 years, I talk to a lot of parents, more probably than most other candidates running for this office for the first time.
Let's talk about that. Since 2015, you served on the Mays USD 266 school board, including four as the president of the board. During your time on the board, per pupil funding for USD 266 has increased by $7,966 per pupil. Enrollment has increased by a little less than 1,000 students, which is roughly a 14% increase in enrollment. So you've had $8,000 per pupil increase, 14% increase in enrollment. During that same time, the district increased teacher pay or number of teachers by 18%. So, you know, you hired 18% more teachers to make up for 1,000 new students. Okay, that's about right. But all employees who are not a teacher, so this is admin, it's all employees, not a teacher. Are you familiar with how much that increased during that same period of time that you were on the board?
I mean,
148.7%.
Yeah.
So you increased all employees who are not in the classroom by 150%. Do you think that's fiscally responsible?
Do you know what they do?
Well, it's everything not a teacher. So I'm sure it's everything that includes janitors. It does not include special ed, but it's janitors, it's administrators.
It's paras who play a vital role. Teachers,
sure.
Teachers are important, but one of the most important things in our buildings are paras. providing support.
That. Well, but you've had an 83.8% increase in administration spending since 2005.
Yeah, and as districts grow, like as businesses grow, you have to add additional layers.
I get that. But your students increased by 14%. Your administration increased by 83%.
Yeah, and now we provide more effective safety and security throughout the district because they hired a new safety person. Tipping point for paras, we were terribly understaffed in a lot of those positions.
But paras aren't under administration.
I mean 83% of
83.8% increase in administration spending.
Yeah,
these are numbers from the district.
I'm sure they are, but like percents can be, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but percents can be a challenging way to do that. A small number increasing by 83% is still a small number.
Okay. Let's look at assessment scores on the 2024 state assessment. This is the most recent state assessment scores. The Mays district had 32% of students below grade level and an additional 27% at grade level, but who still needed remedial training.
Are those levels 1 and 2?
This is overall.
Okay.
Over 1 and 2. Yes, levels 1 and 2. Only 39% proficient. And yet, you're asking voters to promote you to the State Board of Education. And effectively, you're asking for promotion. Do you think those numbers justify a promotion for you? If you were on the board for 8 years and 39% of your job was a success, the other over 50% failed to achieve minimum standards. I mean, most in a corporate environment, you'd get fired for that. You wouldn't get a promotion.
I do want to clarify. I'm pretty sure level 2 is meets proficiency.
Level 2, it's no. Just, level 2 is at grade level but need remedial training.
In order to be college or to be college successful.
College or career ready.
Right. So those are people who are actually meeting
the
standard.
Isn't that the job of schools, is to get people college or career ready? And only 27% of them are at that. 32% are below.
Yeah, no, I don't think there is.
What justifies me voting for you when
I appreciate the question. I'll say a couple things. First is that all school districts and all people in education want us to improve those outcomes. There's no one who doesn't want those improved. And really the challenge is what kinds of programs are potential school board members going to support that help make that possible or put that more at risk. I'll give you a couple examples at the state board level. They are voting against on consent agenda items, things like funding for at-risk students. These are the students who are struggling in school, and denying funding to districts for at-risk students does not make the job easier to help raise those scores. Denying funding for McKinney-Vento, it's a program for homeless students. Those are students that are undoubtedly struggling in school.
Probably.
Denying funding for them is certainly the wrong way to remedy achievement problems in the state. And that's the choice voters have in this case.
I think, as far as I know, I haven't talked to Debbie about that particular issue, but I would imagine she would want to see. I mean, I think all Republicans that I know of want to see that at-risk money go to at-risk student. The problem that I personally have seen is a lot of at-risk money is not spent in the classroom. I remember a study I saw 2 years ago where at-risk money in one Johnson County school district was being spent on large screen TVs in the cafeteria.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that study. And obviously, I mean, some mismanagement might have happened. The point is this current board, 6-4, 7-3, regularly votes against funding for at-risk, homeless, for food programs. Those are the programs that put our most vulnerable students in a spot to be successful.
We're talking about food programs. Are you talking
school lunches? Yeah.
Do you believe that school lunch programs should be means tested?
We right now there are tons of school districts with increasing rates of students that are below the poverty line and need that.
I agree. And those who need should absolutely get it.
And this is,
but and, do you and, think and there's anything wrong with having
this,
a means
this
testing?
This is really important because right now we have board members, and Debbie is aligned with people on the board who voted against nutrition programs for students. And that
I can't speak to that because I'm not Debbie, but I don't know. I can't speak to what Debbie would vote for. I'll ask her when she comes on the show again. We're talking with Jeff Jarman, who's a candidate for Kansas Board of Education District 10. Again, Jeff, looking at the most recent Mays assessments, and the reason I'm going back to this is because it's indicative of the state school issues, and you were on the Mays board for 8 years. 56.5% of students show a limited or basic ability to understand and use the mathematics skills and working knowledge needed to be academically prepared for post-secondary success. That is the definition from the State Board of Education.
Yep.
So 56%, almost 57% of Mays students are limited or basic ability to understand math over the last 5 years. Those numbers have not really changed much in the last 5 years. Okay. However, funding increased over $5,155 over that same period of time, nearly an 18% increase in funding. So here's my question for you. The Mays School District received 18% increase in funding, and yet your math students are 57% incapable of doing basic math.
Yeah, it's the thing about the increased funding, and I know we might talk about this more, so I don't want to jump too far in to get ahead, but you know, we have been in a situation for the last 20-ish years where the legislature has chronically and in many ways, devastatingly underfunded.
But you said earlier in the show that you're adequately funded now. It's constitutionally funded. So that put that aside.
No, but you're asking about scores over the last several years.
I just gave you scores over 5 years. And all during that five-year period of time, you've been adequately funded.
No.
Laura Kelly has been going around all over the state for the last 8 years. Six years that she's been governor. She's been going around saying, we're adequately funded, we're adequately funded. She's been saying that for 6 years now. During this five-year period of time, you've been under the most recent Gannon decision. So you have been, according to the courts, quote, adequately funded, according to the courts, for this five-year period of time.
No, the special ed, which you referenced earlier, has been
This doesn't include special ed. This is basic. So according to the courts, you're adequately funded.
Yes, no, that's today. But the trouble with this special ed, I'll let you ask your question.
Sorry. So yeah, according to the courts, you're adequately funded, yet 57% of your students can't do basic math.
Yeah. No, the problem with underfunding in special ed over the last, you know, many years is that districts are required to pay for that special ed funding gap first, which means the money that would have gone to the rest of general education we had to use that money.
I'm aware of that. And which part of that funding is shorted? Is it the state money or is it the federal money?
The state.
No, it's the federal.
It's statutory.
The state is actually meeting their portion. The portion that is actually shorted is the federal portion.
But finally, that's the important thing.
But the state is matching, is meeting their minimum. Yeah. The federal isn't.
But here,
you need to take that up with your congressman. Let me do this real quick. I got to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more policy issues, if you mind sticking through.
Yeah.
We're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Well, from breaking news to severe weather updates, KNSS is always here for you. Do us a favor. Let's keep it that way. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radios in cars. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and like and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. With us still is Jeff Jarman, candidate for Kansas State Board of Education. Jeff, I want to ask you, your signs, I've seen a couple of your signs, the yard signs, they say that you are, quote, the only candidate who will protect public schools. Do you really believe that Debbie Potter wants to destroy public schools?
I do. I have not heard a single quote from her about any policy initiative that would help the vast majority of students in our state. She has said a couple of things about helping parents, but it's my opinion that parents have all of the access and opportunity to support their kids right now.
So shouldn't it be more, I mean, just following up on that, which I think that's a fairly outrageous statement to say she wants to destroy them, but shouldn't it be more about protecting kids and protecting students than the institutions?
I think it's about providing giving the institution an opportunity to succeed. It's about equipping all of our school districts to improve achievement. Something we talked about earlier before, you know, off air for sure, where I think everyone agrees that we need to improve student achievement.
So if you think everyone agrees and you think Debbie probably agrees that you need to improve student achievement, how can you say then that she wants to destroy public schools?
I don't think she has provided constituents with any solid idea of how student achievement could go up. And
did on this show. I mean, we've had her on the show before, and she talked about policy procedures. She talked about empowering parents.
Parents are already 100% empowered. I mean, parents have a ton of power right now. But she also said on your show that kids could drop out with as little as a sixth or eighth grade education. And that's
remember her saying that.
You then followed up and said blue collar jobs are good, but she got bailed out by you. She said students are draining resources from higher achieving students, and that's the attitude that will ruin achievement in this.
I don't actually remember that, but I will take your word for it and go back and look it up. Yeah. Let me ask you, we've talked a lot about fiscal issues and achievement issues. Let's talk about some policy issues. What do you think about allowing districts to establish gun safety, firearm safety curriculum in the district?
I don't know much about that issue.
The legislature has tried to pass a bill that would allow districts to choose whether or not they want in their school district a firearm safety class.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know much about it. I'm remembering in Mays that we voted to institute a gun club, a shooting club. I mean, these are the kinds of initiatives that I imagine districts can do already.
What do you think about the protection for women's and girls' sports that was passed by the legislature? I know, you know, when you started on the school board, it was, you know, President Obama had passed his bathroom issue. That was the first year. Yeah. Do you like that idea? Did you support his plan, or are you more supportive of ensuring that only biological, you know, boys play in boys' sports, girls play in girls' sports?
KSHA, you know, the Kansas State High School Athletics Association, is the one in our state who is in charge of those policies. And so,
the legislature that establishes? I mean, that let's set that aside. What do you personally think? Do you believe biological males should be playing in girls' sports?
I mean, I don't think as a state school board member I will ever be asked to cast a vote on that.
Are you not going to answer the question?
Well, the point is there are a lot of...
Because you will be asked to answer that.
There are a lot of issues that I might be asked about, but the ones that are relevant to go back to what you said before, to increasing student achievement, are the ones that I hope we can focus on.
I want to point out you did not answer that question.
Fine.
So, Jeff, if folks want to help you, if they want to support you, it's JarmanForBoe.com. That's JarmanForBoe.com, correct?
That's right.
Brother, I appreciate you. I hope I was mean. I hope I wasn't too mean.
I enjoyed our conversation.
Me too, as did I. Next week, Dinesh D'Souza. In the meantime, carry on.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.